Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, stand to your feet. Turn with me to the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. And then after that, we're going to go to Romans, the 14th chapter, but we're going to begin in Luke chapter 17. As you're reading there, I hope that this week you've been thinking about what we talked about last week, where we talked about checking our motives, making sure that we're not just doing the right thing outwardly, but we're being the right person inwardly, that we're doing it for the right reason, and we're doing it to please God and be acceptable to Him, and because we have a heart to serve and a heart to love and not just a heart to be seen. And we do that, the way that we check our motives is by the Word of God, because it's the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So I want to read Luke 17, verses 20 through 22. And this is obviously looking at the life of Jesus and an interaction that he had with some Pharisees. And it says in verse 20, being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. What he means by that is the kingdom of God is not a natural kingdom. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And you continue to look for an outward kingdom. You're looking for a natural kingdom. You're looking for a king with a palace and a throne and an army. But I'm telling you this, it's not coming where it can be observed, where people can say, look, here it is. Or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. That's the kind of kingdom that God came to establish through Jesus Christ, that we are now the kingdom of God, because his kingdom is within us. Now turn with me to Romans, the 14th chapter, verses 17 and 18. In this passage of scripture, Paul is talking and referring mostly regarding if one should eat meat or not eat meat, if one should do this or not do that, because there was great conflict amongst the church concerning how they should eat and drink. And Paul gives instruction about how we should not do anything that would cause our brother or our sister in Christ to stumble, to fall, and to fall into sin. But he makes this important statement in Romans chapter 14, verse 17 and 18, and he sums it all up by saying this: the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Basically saying, look, don't do anything to make anybody stumble, but why are you focused so much on the eating and the drinking? The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking because, as Jesus said, it's not to be observed, it's not outwardly, but the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I find it interesting how much we sang about joy this morning. And when we talk about the kingdom, quite often we would think about righteousness, because obviously it's a righteous kingdom. We might talk about peace because he's the king of peace. But what about joy? I want you to have joy deep down inside of your soul, because when you walk in the kingdom, you walk and you live in a kingdom that one third of the kingdom of God is made up of joy. So joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Would you bow your head and pray with me today? Father, we thank you that we get to be children of your kingdom, children of light. We who were once darkness, but now we are light. And we can let our light so shine before men that they may see our good deeds and glorify you. Not us, but you who is in heaven. God, we just say, as Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you this morning concerning the kingdom of God. When Jesus was on this earth and his disciples came to him, they said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. Jesus said, okay, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know the rest of it. But we at the Well, we want the kingdom of God to come into DeKalb County. We want his will to be done. We don't want what we want. We simply want what he wants. We didn't come here 3 years ago in 2020 when we planted this church. We didn't come to play church. We didn't come to go through the motions. We didn't come to just set up another facility where people could have a social club. and they could leave feeling better about themselves, where they could come and they could just belong and exist. Those things are important, and they're a portion of what we do, but we came because we realized we're carriers of the kingdom of God, and we want His kingdom to come in DeKalb County, and we want His will to be done. So we didn't come to attract people to us. Madison and I, we didn't come here to do that. We didn't, the rest of this staff, we don't try to draw people to ourselves. We want to point people to the King. We came to advance the King's kingdom and fulfill His will. And His will is that all mankind would know Him. Our vision statement, which I try to reference at least every couple months, because where there is no vision, people perish. People cast off restraint. Our vision, and when in your life, with your family, with your business, with your church, with your parenting, whatever it is, you need to have a vision. And if whatever you're doing does not fall in line with the vision, then you ought not to be doing it because it's not advantageous for you. And so we measure everything that we do against the vision. And our vision statement is this: advancing the kingdom of God by being passionate for God and compassionate towards man. You may ask sometimes, why do they do it the way that they do it? Why does Pastor Jeff go, woo? Because he's passionate for God. And when we're passionate for God, sometimes we do things that other people don't understand, but we are advancing His kingdom, and we're passionate for God, and we're compassionate for other people. And if you don't understand the kingdom, then you don't know God. Because God is the King of the kingdom. You know, that's why I'm not in competition with other churches in this community. When they are walking and operating and advancing the kingdom of God, you know what they're doing? They are doing God's will in this community. I'm not competing with them. I saw dear friends. I saw Pastor David Goss, who pastors Life Chapel in Rainsville this past week, and we talked and we shared our hearts with one another because I'm not in competition with him. Why? Because if he is advancing the kingdom of God, then he is fulfilling God's vision for this community. I saw India Penrod. She and her husband Colton pastor the church at the Vine in downtown Fort Payne. They planted just a few months after we did. I'm not in competition with them. I'm not out to see who can have more people, who can have a bigger building. I say, if they want to advance the kingdom, then let's advance the kingdom in DeKalb County, Alabama. We're not competing with one another. We're here to complete one another, not compete with one another. So before I go any further talking about the kingdom of God, I want you to listen to this. I want you to take this personally. I'm not just talking about the well, I'm talking about you. I want you to know that you belong in the kingdom of God. You don't just belong in a church. You see, that's where we've gotten so confused in America, is we belong in church, but we feel out of place in the kingdom. We belong because they accept me as I am. God accepts you as you are, absolutely, but God also will change you from glory to glory, from one nature to another nature. He will make you a better version of who you are, not just because you're trying, but because His Spirit is living inside of you. And so we've gotten confused where we belong in church because I can stay in the church and do all the things that the Word of God teaches against, but they accept me in the church. You see, when you come into the kingdom of God, you'll realize you'll start to feel uncomfortable concerning the sin that is in your life because you realize it's a hindrance to me knowing the King. It keeps me from being close with Him the way that I want to be close with Him. But the kingdom of God, it's for you. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for prophets and evangelists. The kingdom of God is for you. It's not an exclusive club that God gives entrance to a few, that here's the church, here's the kingdom. No, the kingdom is for everybody. You are called to live in His kingdom. And so often people think that the kingdom of God is out of reach or it's beyond comprehension because they don't understand the kingdom. But Jesus' first sermon, and anytime you, if you were going to teach someone how to read, you wouldn't start with a dictionary. You'd start with the alphabet, would you not? If you were going to teach somebody to read, you would go to the simplest. You would say, this is an A, this is a B, this is a C. And you would teach them the alphabet because you must learn the alphabet before you learn how to read. And so when Jesus started preaching, the first thing He said was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what does that say? That says that is Jesus's ABCs to life with God. That's His beginning. His beginning is that we should repent and we should realize the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, what does that mean? when he says repent for the kingdom of God, that means this: change your way of thinking concerning the kingdom of God. Because you see, the Pharisees, who were studiers of the law, they knew it backwards and forwards. They could quote to you the first five books of the Bible. They knew it better than anybody else did it, knew it. They were teachers of the law. They came to him and they said, look, we understand there is a kingdom of God, but when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus says, well, you're looking for it in all the wrong places and in all the wrong ways. Go back to the beginning, Jesus' first sermon. Change your way of thinking concerning the kingdom of God. He's saying God's kingdom has come, and it's within reach. If something's within hand, I can't grab the water bottle that Madison is drinking of right now because I'm not within reach. But if I were to come down off of this platform and I come close, this bottle of water is now within grasp. I have it in my hand. I'm able to touch it and hold it and feel it, and I could drink from it if I wanted to because she's my wife and I'm not worried about her germs, okay? It's funny how some people will kiss their spouse, but they won't drink after them. I'm like, do you not understand the concept of what's taking place here? It's like people, every time they hear we have five children, do you know what's causing that? And I'm like, duh. Yeah, like, I kind of figured that out a long time ago, and that's why we have five, right? Like, but the kingdom of God, Jesus is saying, it's within reach. And so often we think that the kingdom of God is just beyond our comprehension. What do you mean the kingdom of God? Let's talk about church, because we get church. Let's talk about being a good person, because I can wrap my mind around being a good person. What do you mean living in the kingdom? And Jesus said, it's not out of reach. It's not too far. It's here. And I'm welcoming you to come into the kingdom. The mindset in the time of Jesus was that when the kingdom of God came, it would be a kingdom that resembled the Davidic kingdom. What was the Davidic kingdom? The Davidic kingdom was when Israel was at its height. They were the most powerful force on earth. They were wealthy. They had a great army. They defeated everyone around them. They took control of many lands. They had the greatest king. They had everything going for them. And everybody thought that because Rome had come in and invaded the nation of Israel, they thought that when the kingdom of God comes, he will remove Rome and he will establish and we will take back the Temple Mount, and there will be the Temple Mount they had at that time, but the palace that was there, that it would be inhabited by a great king, and he would have a great army, and he would look like all the kings that they'd seen in the past. But what we don't realize about the kings that they had in the past is the reason that Israel had kings was because they wanted a king. God didn't ordain first for Israel to have a king. In fact, when the people came to Samuel and they said, would you ask God to give us a king? He said, why would you want a king? Do you not understand that a king is going to take your sons and he's going to put them in his army, and they're going to have to fight for him, and they're going to have to keep his cavalry, and they're going to have to make swords for him, and he's going to take your daughters and he's going to make them be his handmaidens and his slaves and his concubines, and he's going to take your animals and he's going to take taxes from you? And they said, yeah, we understand all that, and we still want a king because we want to be like everybody else. And so God said, all right, that's what you want. That's what you're going to get. He gave them a king. And thankfully, they had some righteous kings. But then they got overruled by, and they got put into exile. And they were looking for the Messiah. And they thought the Messiah was going to resemble what they had already said they wanted, because they were still looking for man's version of a king, because they didn't understand the kingdom of God. They only understood the kingdom of man. And so they said, when is the kingdom of God coming? And Jesus said, well, guess what? When the kingdom of God comes, it's not going to look anything like you thought it was going to look like. Because the kingdom that you are referencing was not actually the kingdom that God had in mind in the first place anyways. The kingdom that God had in mind is a kingdom where he's king and he rules and he reigns. And that's the kind of kingdom that Jesus brought to us. So when the Messiah shows up, which is Jesus Christ, he doesn't come with a great army. He doesn't come with horses. He doesn't come with chariots. He doesn't come with swords and soldiers and in a great palace. But instead, he comes in the form of a lowly servant and a carpenter from Galilee, from Nazareth, born in Bethlehem. And he shows up and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That word repent, most people know, you've probably heard this preached before. That means to change one's mind or purpose in the Greek, right? That's true. Absolutely true. It also means to do a complete turnaround. If you're going this way, it means to turn around and go the other direction. But you know what it also means if you look at the word in the Greek, repent? It means reconsider. Consider again. Think again is what Jesus is saying. Look at the kingdom of heaven. And so he's showing up on the scene. And the first thing he says is, think again. Look again. Take another glance. Look at the kingdom of God and realize his kingdom doesn't look like what you thought it looked like. His kingdom isn't resembling anything that you have on this earth. You know, you think you know his plan, but I urge you reconsider because it doesn't look like what you've made it out to be. What if we've gotten our eyes off of what he truly wants his children to look like? What if God is saying to us today, repent, reconsider what the kingdom of God is? Because you've built a culture of church. You've built a culture of being a good Southern man or woman who believes in God and attends church. But what if you're not living in the kingdom? You see, you have to ask yourself, have I developed an earthly perspective of a heavenly kingdom? Have I tried to make heaven reflect earth instead of allowing earth to reflect heaven? Because that's what Jesus told us to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Earth should reflect heaven, but we're trying to make heaven reflect earth because we want it to look our way. I urge you to remember and to think and to reconsider and reflect and ask yourself this, does my life look like his kingdom? Because if you want to be a kingdom citizen, you can. It's within reach. But the problem that many people find with kingdom living is this. The king has ultimate authority. You see, you can go to church and still control your own life. But you can't live in the kingdom and be in control. The problem that many people have, they're okay with church, they're okay with Christianity, because they can call themselves a Christian but still rule and run their own life. They can go where they want to go, do what they want to do, spend their money on what they want to spend. But the problem that many people find with the kingdom, and we stop short of the kingdom and we've settled for church because at church we're still in control. We're still in charge. But the problem that many people have with kingdom living is the king has ultimate authority. What he says is what we should do. You cannot live in the kingdom of God and expect to be your own king. There's one king in the kingdom of God, and you cannot expect the benefits that come from living in the kingdom and be blessed and be prosperous without being a child of God and living under his rule. So what does that look like? You may say, well, I would love to be in the kingdom. I would love to let him be the king of my heart, the king of my life, but how do I do that? Well, let's break it down very simply. And ask yourself this question. Because you may find out that you are, you just didn't have the proper verbiage for it. You might find out that you thought you were living in the kingdom, but you weren't at all. So the question is this. Do you consult God concerning every decision that you make in your life? Or do you make those decisions presumptuously? When it comes to where you work. When it comes to who you're going to marry, young people. When it comes to where you're going to go to school. You know, I had plans for my life. You know what my plans were for my life? I was going to coach high school football. That's what I wanted to do. Y'all are probably looking at me going, I just don't see it. But that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to coach football, maybe baseball, but probably football. I was going to go to school. I was going to get an education in sports management or something like that. It didn't really matter what the degree was as long as I got to be in sports. I didn't care. I was going to coach football. But you know what? That wasn't God's plan for my life. But because I live in the kingdom and not just in church, I prayed. And I said, God, this is what I would like to do. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What do you want for my life? And apparently he had a different plan because here I am coaching you instead of coaching football. So do you ask him, God, would you guide me? Would you show me? You may find out there sometimes he'll let you make the decision. He'll say, I'll bless you if you go this way, or I'll bless you if you go that way. All he wants is you to ask him. All he wants is to know that he's still the king of your, he's sitting on the throne of your heart. Or do you do this? Do you do whatever you want and expect him to bless it? That's where most people live. And they wonder why they're broke down, why they're frustrated, why nothing's going right. Because they're doing what they want to do, claiming to live in the kingdom, and then they're wondering, where's your blessing? God's like, you didn't even ask me if you should have done that. You bought the car and then it broke down. And if you would have asked me, I would have told you, don't buy it. It's a lemon. But you're expecting God to bless you because you just did whatever you want, but you live in the kingdom, so you ought to have blessings. No, blessings come and benefits come to those who follow the orders of the king. And when you follow the orders of the king, and you see, people just don't like that anymore. They don't want anybody to tell them what to do. And if you don't want someone to tell you what to do, don't be a Christian. Because the reason I became a Christian is I realized when I tell myself what to do, I get in trouble. I was lost. I was down. But you know what? He in love, not in control, but in love, will lead you and show you what you should do. If you don't yield to him, then he isn't God. If you pray and you say, God, show me which path to take, and he tells you and you don't take it, at that moment, is he God? Yes, but he's not your God. Because you have chosen to go against what he told you to do. You've said, I'm stepping out of the kingdom and into my own domain. And in your own domain, guess who's responsible for your protection? Guess who's responsible for your provision? Guess who's responsible to watch out for you? You. But if you stay in the kingdom, guess what? There's a host of angel armies that will defend you. There's the cattle on 1,000 hills that will be your provision. So stay in the kingdom. If you only knew how much he loves you, how much he wants to help you. He's not up there that he just wants to keep you under his finger. He wants to keep his hand upon your life so there's favor, so there's blessing. The kingdom of God, though, is not a democracy. That means you don't vote on who gets to be king. He's the king. He's king from the beginning of time. He's going to be the king till the end of time. So you have to trust and understand that he's not a dictator. He's a loving father. And he wants to lead you. He has a perfect plan for your life. So how do we live in the kingdom? Well, Jesus said the kingdom of God is not one of observation, but it's within you. And then Romans, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not eating, it's not drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So that means that a kingdom citizen is not just a kingdom citizen outwardly, but one inwardly. It's not about what you eat and what you drink. It's not about what you don't eat and you don't drink. And that's where so many Christians have turned it into. It's all about what you do and what you don't do. But it goes back to what we talked about last week. Where's the motive of your heart? Jesus said, it's not what goes in a person that defiles them. It's what comes out of a person that will defile them. Because what comes out of you is a revelation of what's in you. And if the kingdom is within you, then the kingdom of God will come out of you. So if Paul reveals to us that the kingdom of God is this. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. I would venture to say 9 out of 10 Christians, if you ask them, define to me the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Most people would say, it's God's kingdom. That doesn't really get us any further down the road than we were when we started. You mean to tell me that the kingdom of God is God's kingdom? Well, that's a great revelation. But Paul laid it out very clearly for us. So the next time you wonder what is the kingdom, or someone were to ask you, like Pastor Jeff was saying earlier, he said, we can be so full of joy that people would wonder, why are they so joyful? Someone could ask you, say, because I live in the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. And so when I live in the kingdom, I don't have joy because I've just chosen to enlighten my mind to the point of joy. I live in joy because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And as a citizen of the kingdom, I am promised joy from my Father. So Paul reveals that's what it is. We're raising our children, Madison and I, and hopefully you are as well, to be members of the kingdom. Not just to be churchgoers, because I've seen a lot of people that their parents made them go to church every time the church doors were open. And the moment they had their own decision, they were no longer to be seen because they were not raised in the kingdom. They were raised in church. Now, should your children be in church? 100%. But make sure that as they go to church, they understand that church is a part of the kingdom. But church is not the only part of the kingdom. There must be the kingdom of God at home. If you want to reinforce what's being said at church, and really church should reinforce what you're saying to your children at home, what you're saying to your spouse at home. And so we are raising our children to be members of the kingdom of God. Now, you may say that's indoctrination. You can call it indoctrination. You can call it brainwashing. You can call it whatever you want, but they're not your children, they're mine. And so I'm going to raise them how I want to raise them. And you raise yours how you want to raise them. But you know, doctrine is simply the teaching or instruction of someone or something. So if you say you're indoctrinating your children, I would say you are absolutely right. I am raising them in the teaching of Jesus. I'm raising them in the teaching of the Bible, and I am brainwashing them into the kingdom of God. Hitler had doctrine because he taught hatred. He taught that there was a race that was above all other races. You realize that's doctrine. And people bought into that doctrine. Plato had doctrine. Einstein had doctrine. Darwin had doctrine. Guess what? So do we. And it's called the Bible. And the Bible is our doctrine. And if you, listen to me, parents, if you do not indoctrinate your children, someone else will. The school will. Their neighbor will. Their friend will. Somebody will indoctrinate them if you do not. Maybe it'll be a boss. Maybe it'll be a professor. I don't know. But I happen to believe that Jesus is the only way to the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So how pitiful of a person would I be if I just sat back and said, you know what? I love my children, so I'm going to let them choose their own way. I only believe there's one way, but I'm going to let them choose which way they want to go. That'd be pitiful of me. Because that would be me saying, feel free to make, that'd be like me opening the drawer in the kitchen and saying, there's spoons and there's knives. You dig for whatever you want. Most kids, you know what they're going to get, baby. They're going to get the knife, right? I know my son Bethel. He's not going to grab a spoon if there's a knife, right? And so that's what we do so often is we're like, well, we don't want to pressure them to love God. You can teach them the kingdom and not pressure them to love God. Because what I've learned is that if they see and they know the truth and they see that it's real and mom and dad aren't just hooting and hollering at church and aren't just reading their Bible at church, but they're doing it at home, guess what? They will choose the kingdom because they see it's real. You know why people love reels? Because they think that it's real. People want real nowadays. That's why there's so many influencers, is because it's giving people a peek into their real life that's not real at all, but it's a version of real, and so they think that it's attractive, and so they just indulge on these people's lives, and I'm like, that's not even real. But people have a craving for real because there's such a lack of real and sincere. So if you're going to be a member of the kingdom, don't just be a member of the kingdom when you come to church. When you raise your hands at the right time, you come to the altar when it's called. You can do that at home with your children. I told you, my knee didn't get healed at church. My knee got healed at home because of my five-year-old praying for me. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. It doesn't remove the need for church. There will always be a need for church. How do I know that? Because Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's his church. And if he ordained it, he started it, it will last. And so we have started teaching this passage to our children. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Why? So that when they respond to their sibling in a rude way, I'll ask them, was that righteous? Was that peaceful? Was that joyful? No. Then we shouldn't be doing it. Because we live in the kingdom. And in the kingdom, there's righteousness. In the kingdom, there's peace. In the kingdom, there's joy. So now they're held accountable as citizens of the kingdom, not just to what mom and dad say, but because of the divine order that God has placed and instructed for our life. Because if you want your words to hold weight, then use the word of God to teach your children. Don't just tell them because mom and dad say so. Because guess what? That'll only last as long as they're in your house, if it even works then. Tell them, because this is how God ordained for us to live as a part of the kingdom. Because this home is a home of the kingdom. So we only operate in righteousness. We only operate in peace. We only operate in joy that comes through the Holy Ghost. We don't, y'all tell you what, in our house, I'm not saying it never happens, but we don't do constant fighting. We don't do that. Now, if you choose to do that in your home, I'm sorry, but we don't do it. We don't do chaos. We don't do pity parties. We don't do sulking. We don't do bad attitudes. Not because I'm saying you can't be a child, you can't be a human, but because we choose, we're going to do righteousness, we're going to do peace, and we're going to do joy in the Holy Ghost. And I would encourage you to adopt this mentality. If you say, I'm a child of God, I live in the kingdom, then you choose, I only do righteousness, I only do peace, I only do joy in the Holy Ghost. And then he says this, for he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and is approved by men. I want you to know this today. This is your ministry. You would say, ministry? I'm not a minister. The Bible says that he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The Lord placed it upon my heart to remind you today, you're a saint. You're a saint of God. That gives you authority. That gives you power. That makes you one that he looks upon with great pleasure, and you have a ministry when you go to work, when you go to school, when you go into the community. This is your ministry. This is your mandate. Carry the kingdom of God with you. You may say, I carry the kingdom of God. It's so simple. You carry righteousness with you. I love what I heard this week. The only sin that Jesus ever had was ours. The only righteousness that we can ever have is his. A.W. Tozer said that. He took your sin and he gave you righteousness for it. So you may say, well, how do I get righteousness? He already gave it. You say, I accept the righteousness of God. You may say, well, how do I get peace? Jesus said, my peace I give to you. You may say, well, how do I get joy? Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you that you your joy might be full. Realize, Jesus promised us every single thing that makes up the kingdom of God. Through the work of the cross, he granted you the opportunity to be righteous. He promised you that he would give you peace. And he said these things that you might have joy and joy more abundantly. And so you say, how do I have the kingdom? You simply say, God, I receive the kingdom of God and I want to walk in the kingdom of God. He says, if you do these things, you'll be acceptable to God and you'll be approved by men. That word acceptable means well-pleasing. The most pleasing thing that anyone can do for God is be a carrier of the kingdom. He looks down, he says, that's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. But it also says we'll be approved by men. That means tested, tried, and proven. So that when normally someone is used to getting a response of anger, they get a response of peace. And all of a sudden, you're approved to them because they tested you, they tried you, and you came out proven. You're peaceful. You're not angry. You've got joy. Not depression. You've got righteousness, not evil, living inside of you. And so people begin to take note. And as they take note, they begin to wonder, why don't I have what you have? And they have a desire to become a part of the kingdom. And I want to get back to the place where people are asking the church how to get saved instead of the people, instead of church begging people to get saved. I'm not saying that we shouldn't evangelize, we shouldn't go out, we shouldn't do missions, but if you look at the book of Acts, there was multiple times where people came to them and they said, what do I have to do to be saved? Now we're looking, what can we do to get people saved? And we should try everything we can. Everything short of, we are part of our mandate, part of our goal, part of our vision is we will do anything short of sin to get people saved. Because as long as it doesn't go against God, I'll do it if it takes them getting saved. You may ask, why do you do Trail of Treats? Isn't that on Halloween? Because we will do everything short of sin to show someone that Jesus loves them and he's the light of the world and he died on the cross for their sins. Are we celebrating Halloween? No, we're preaching Jesus. We're showing people love. We're being light in the midst of darkness. And so we will do whatever it takes. But I want to see us come to the place that we're in the grocery store and you walk past someone and all of a sudden they go, whoa, what's different about you? You're like, I don't know. I can't remember when I got my hair cut. Do I have what? And all of a sudden you go, oh, wait, they're not talking about what's different about me physically. They're talking about what's different about me spiritually. And you go, oh, I'm a member of the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? It's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. You should try it sometime. You know, it's amazing that if you try a really good restaurant, You're going to go to someone and say, hey, you should try this restaurant, right? Tanner and I love food, don't we, Tanner? Pastor Tanner, excuse me. We love food. Frankie, do you love food? I do too. It's great. And anytime I try somewhere that is really, really good, I'm going to tell other people about it because it was great. But if I don't encounter somewhere, I don't experience someone, I don't have any testimony to tell them about that place. I can't write a review online. I can't tell you about it. I can't tell you that the burger was good, the fries were good, the steak was good, the fish was good, whatever it is. I can't tell you because I haven't tried it. So many people have no testimony of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost because they haven't even been living in the kingdom. They've just been going to church. They've just been calling themselves a Christian. Why? Because they want God to bless what they do. They want to be a good person. They want to be someone that everything goes better for them than it goes for other people. So they thought, well, why don't we try Christianity? The introduction to Christianity was not that God would make your life better. It's that he would save your soul. And in the saving of your soul, I promise you, life will get better. But I didn't come to Jesus so my life would get better. I came to Jesus because he was the only one that could save my soul. He redeems our life from destruction. And I want to get to the place where people, they show up here on Tuesday night and they feel the kingdom of God because there's an atmosphere of the kingdom of God. And when they see you loving, and when they see us serving, and when they see our heart for the community, they would say, what do I need to do to have what you have? What do I need to do to get saved? What do I need to do to come to this church? And we would say, you don't have to do anything, just come as you are. Because that's the coined phrase that we have now. Just come as you are, just come as you are. I'm all for come as you are, but leave differently. The answer should be, when you come here, you're stepping into the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, he's the king. We're not the king. And we've got righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost all through him. It's not our own doing. But I want people to see and know that this is the kingdom of God. This is what he's promised to us. It's not out of reach. Remember what Jesus said? It's within hand. Would you stand to your feet with me today? I want to ask you to do something today. I want to ask you to join me in the altar if you're saying, I want to live in the kingdom. Yeah. If that's you, would you just come up here, just make a statement, just step forward and say, I'm going to live in the kingdom. I'm going to be a kingdom person. I'm going to make my decisions based upon what God wants and not what I want. I'm going to, as I go to the grocery store, as I go to work, I'm going and I'm carrying the kingdom of God. And so I want you to know it's not just for a select few. It's for anybody that wants it. So if you're saying, I want to be a part of the kingdom, you're just making a response today and you're coming forward and saying, God, I am submitting myself as your child. I am submitting myself as a vessel that you can use. And I say, use me for your glory. Use me for your honor. God, I want to be a vessel that you can work through. I'm a member of the kingdom. I'm not just a churchgoer. I'm not just a good person. I'm a kingdom person. I have righteousness. I have peace. I have joy. And Lord, I pray for those that have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I pray that their hearts would be open to receive the Holy Spirit, because it's not just promised to everybody. It comes through the Holy Spirit. And so we say, Holy Spirit, fill vessels today. Give us boldness that we may preach your gospel. Help us to not operate in fear or in weakness, but to operate in power and in strength. And so God, we say today, this is a kingdom house. We are kingdom people. God, we're not just going through the motions. We're not just trying to get more blessed. God, we want to be a blessing to other people. And so we say, make us more like you. Conform us to your image. We surrender our hearts to you that we could be members of the kingdom of God. That the kingdom of God is not of observation. Look here, look there. It's within you. So right now, just open your heart. Say, God, fill my heart with your kingdom. Fill my heart with your kingdom. Fill everything that I am so that I carry it to my house. I carry it to my job. I carry it to my neighborhood. I carry it to the team that I coach. I carry it to the coffee meeting that I'm going to go to tomorrow afternoon. God, whatever it is, I declare I want to be a carrier of the kingdom. Because God, we're nothing without you. We can't do it on our own. We need you to be the king of our heart. So if that's your prayer today, lift your hands. Just say, fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, God, with your kingdom. Jesus, I accept your righteousness. Jesus, I accept your peace. Jesus, I accept your joy. Holy Spirit, I receive you. The Holy Spirit won't make you weird. You know what he will make you? Holy. He'll make you like him. You may look weird to other people, but you won't look weird to God. So, Father, I pray that you'd fill us with your kingdom. Commission us with the authority necessary to advance your kingdom. God, we don't want to just hoard the kingdom. We want to advance the kingdom. The kingdom of God is advancing by force, and the forceful will lay hold of it. God, we lay hold of the kingdom today. And we say we want you more than anything. In Jesus' name, would you lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost be in you and work through you. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. Don't forget, if you're volunteering at Trail of Treats, we have a meeting directly following service right up here up front. We love you. Be blessed. Have a great week.